Welcome to the Top Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Proudmouse Pod Rocket Academy. I'm your host, Bill Cates, creator of the Cates Academy for Relationship Marketing. In each episode, I interview one of our industry's top performers, getting them to pass on their secrets to success to you, so that you can impact more lives and generate more income. Now, on to the show. Welcome, welcome. Did you know that I have a new book? You're going to love this book. The title is The Language of Referrals, The Words and Scripts Financial Professionals Use to Gain More Ideal Clients. Most advisors come to me for coaching or online training, and then they say, how can I be appropriately proactive without looking like the cheesy referral guy? And yeah, they use those exact words. The key is having the right approach and having the right words, words that are natural to you. When you have the right approach and the right words, it boosts your confidence. And of course, that leads to action. And then it's the action that produces the results to get you in front of more right fit clients. The language of referrals, I think, will become your blueprint for finding your right words and phrases to elevate your referability, to confidently ask for introductions, address concerns, and turn the willingness to refer into effective connections with your new prospects. To get your copy, go to languageofreferrals.com. That's www.languageofreferrals.com. When it comes to being appropriately proactive for introductions to ideal clients, you'll never be at a loss of words again. And now on with today's show. What's one of the biggest concerns your clients bring to you? They want to make sure they don't run out of money in their later years, right? They want to make sure that they have money in place to maintain their lifestyle even when they stop working. And this is an important consideration. Our featured guest for today's show, David Mines, has another way to look at this. He would ask, don't your clients, and I would add, and you, want to make sure that your health lasts as long as your money? Your health lasts as long as your wealth, right? David's newest book puts a new spin on the old adage. The title is Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise: How Financial Service Professionals Can Make Sure Their Health Lasts as Long as Their Money. No matter how you spin it, without your health, the wealthy and the wise are a bit less important. Would you agree? David and I started in this business of writing and speaking and coaching about the same time, which means he's old too. But you never know it by his looks and his energy. David's credentials include Master of Science, Registered Dietitian Nutritionist, Fellow of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and he's a certified health coach. This is a long way of saying David knows his stuff when it comes to nutrition and health. David Mines, zooming in from South Chase, Florida, near Orlando. Welcome to Top Advisor Podcast.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Yeah, always good to see you. And you told me it's a little cold in Florida today. Too bad. It's cold in Annapolis, I'll tell you that for sure.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be, Bill.
It's true. It is. So, David, let's get right to it. You've been preaching and teaching ideas for health and vitality for a gazillion years. What prompted you to write Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise?
Well, Bill, when I was 23 years old, my dad died from a surprise heart attack. Fine one day, gone the next. You know, a lot of people don't know that the most common first symptom that you have something wrong with your heart is that you die. That's the most common first symptom.
Ooh.
So that, of course, obviously limits your options.
Yes.
But that one event really kind of changed the direction of my life. My mom and dad had good financial advice. There was money in the bank. There was insurance. But at the funeral, that's not what we were thinking about. The financial security was nice and important, but what we really wanted was him. At a young age, I learned the importance of health. And of course, everything is related. Health is important, but life isn't as much fun if you don't have any money. On the other hand, all the money in the world doesn't mean much if you're sick. I was speaking at a meeting a while back, and on the program next to my picture and bio was that of a financial planner by the name of Joel. Joel's picture in his bio was right next to mine, and his picture showed him on his sailboat doing what he loved to do when he wasn't working. But Joel didn't make it to that meeting. He died 1 week before from a surprise heart attack. He left a wife and a couple of kids, and Joel was only 44. You know, a simple Google search will show lots of stories of financial advisors who are at the top of their game and then suddenly gone. Our main purpose here is to make sure that doesn't happen to people who are listening today.
You know, that just strikes home, right? Because I've been at those conferences too. I've been on the posters. I've seen the other speakers. And here you're going to share the platform, so to speak, or the conference with this person, and then he's not there. Talk about a pale it must have created in the energy in the room, in the conference. And not only is he not there for his family, he's no longer there for his clients. And so that has a huge impact that just radiates to a lot of folks. So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that one of your new missions now is to serve financial advisors by helping them maintain their vitality to make sure they're there for themselves, their families, and their clients. Is that a correct assumption?
You know, it is. And this is so self-evident, sometimes it's missed. Mm-hmm. Of course, you've got to have quality of life. You've got to have quantity of life. If all of this work and all of the effort you put into your career is and to your clients' lives is going to have any benefit. Surely the goal of life is not to be able to afford the best medical care the last 10 years of your life.
Yeah, better that you can afford it, but better that you don't have to. You know, I know that a lot of clients will say to their advisor, especially if their advisors are starting to get a little bit older. I know I thought about this, my last advisor before he retired, was, you know, what happens when you retire? What happens when you no longer want to be the advisor? But my guess is that most prospects or clients don't say to their advisor, what happens if you don't show up tomorrow? Right. So let's use that morbid transition to talk about what are some of the biggest health priorities that financial professionals face? I'm guessing they're not much different from other humans, but just what have you seen?
Right. Well, because it's related to so many other issues and because it's such a huge problem in this country and around the world, I'd say one of the biggest health problems and priorities for financial professionals is to maintain a healthy weight. When I was in graduate school a number of years ago, 25% of America had a weight problem. Today, it's 70% of the population. 70% of Americans are overweight. And a lot of people think it's because of processed food or that we're too sedentary or we eat all the time. And all of those, of course, can contribute. But surprisingly, the science is now showing us that the real issue with weight control has to do with your insulin levels. And we're not talking about people who have diabetes. And frankly, it doesn't matter if your blood sugar levels are always normal when you go to the doctor. And it doesn't matter if your A1C levels are always normal. You can still have insulin problems. And the reason this is so important is that insulin is a fat storage hormone. When your insulin levels are high, your body stores fat. You never lose weight. You never will lose weight while your insulin levels are high. So you got to get those under control first. The problem is that most physicians don't order this test. I mean, it's available. You can order an insulin test, but they don't order it. Most physicians just look at your fasting blood sugar when you have your blood work done, or maybe an A1C, which measures your blood sugar for the last couple of months. And if that's okay, they think everything's okay, but it's not. The CDC says that about half of American adults, half, have an insulin problem right now. And I would also mention, too, that you shouldn't get too cocky just because you're thin. While your weight is important, the biggest driver of this problem is age. Age. With every birthday, your risk goes up. So I want to give you a guideline now on how to give you an idea if you have this insulin problem. There's a fancy test you can do in blood work that takes 4 or 5 hours, but there's a much simpler way to do it. So after our program's over, when you get home, I want you to look up your most recent blood results and you put your numbers into this formula. Here's the formula. Take your triglyceride number and divide it by your good cholesterol. That's called the HDL. Your triglyceride divided by the HDL cholesterol. You put your numbers in there when you get home. If your answer is 2 or above, you probably have an insulin problem. And if you do, you're never going to be able to lose weight until you get that under control. But the short time we have in our program today doesn't really allow us to get into the detail of what to do about this, but I at least want to right now identify what the problem is and what most people's major issue is with weight control and why it's so frustrating, especially as we put on more years. So in a little bit, I'm going to do a shameless promotion for my book, because that's where we really get into the details of identifying this and what to do about it and how to fix it.
Let me ask you a quick question before I forget it. This fancy test that you may want to take after you've done the little calculation you mentioned. And I just did. I have these numbers actually right at the side of my desk, so I'm lucky that I can find them easily. Not everyone may have those, but what's the name of this test that takes 4 hours that you may want to do once you've determined that your number is 2 or above?
Sure. So, Bill, what this is called is a 4-hour glucose tolerance test with insulin response. Very important, that last part, with insulin response. What they do is you go in first thing in the morning in a fasting state. You don't have any food. They do a fasting blood sugar. Then they give you this sugar water, something similar to Pepsi. You drink that, and then they measure you at a half hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, etc., and they see what happens to your blood sugar. It should go up and come down kind of like in a bell-shaped curve. If it goes up and stays up, you've got an insulin problem. But even if it does go up and down like it should, if they monitor insulin, they might see that insulin goes up, which should then come down too. But if it stays up, that tells me you have an insulin problem, and we'll never know that unless insulin is part of this test. The test is available at Quest. It is not an easy test. It's uncomfortable to take, but it will really identify it. But short of that, this simple formula of triglycerides divided by your good cholesterol will really give you a good ballpark if you're 2 or above.
This is great, because I put on, like many, during COVID-19, I put on the COVID-19, literally.
Yeah.
And I've been having trouble in for various reasons. And I think this could be an issue and certainly worth looking at.
It's an issue in half of adults, according to CDC.
Well, there you go. So if good chance that everyone listening could have this. And now you started to talk a little bit about, before I interrupted you, about, you know, if you're not overweight, this still could be an issue, or what were you going to hit there?
That's right. So being overweight is a driver of this insulin problem. However, the biggest driver is age.
Oh, that's
so
right. Yes.
You can be in good shape. I have insulin resistance. I'm 70 years old. And people would look at me and say, well, you're in pretty good shape and you eat well and all of that. But because I've been around for 7 decades now, I have this issue. So I really have to be even more aware of my diet and exercise, et cetera, et cetera. You cannot tell just by how you look on the outside. Even if it is true, I'm better off having other a number of risk factors, but that doesn't give me a free pass necessarily until I get tested.
What other issues should financial professionals be looking at?
Well, I'll add one more thing here.
Please.
to the weight loss issue and the weight issue, because it's so important for everything else, for cancer risk, for heart disease risk, for diabetes risk, or immune function. Everything seems to be founded on whether you've got more or less a healthy body composition. And that's just not weight, but it's also muscle versus fat composition as well. But I'll tell you that the most dangerous kind of fat, and the most dangerous place to put it, is on your gut. And of course, that's traditionally where men have it, is around the belly. Women tend to carry excess fat around the hips. They don't like it there, but it's not near as dangerous as gut fat is. The reason for that is gut fat is metabolically very active. It's moving in and out of your body, into your blood, all the time, whereas hip fat is very stationary. You ask a woman how easy it is to take that hip fat off. It's not very easy. Then if you got, so ladies, if you're watching right now, I will just suggest this to you. If you've ever been on a diet with the man in your life, he has a much easier time losing weight than you do. And the reason for that is where he's getting his calories. He tends to get his calories off his middle section. You tend to get your calories off your hips. And it's not an easy thing to do. He can lose weight quickly. But the downside of that is that in the rest of his life, when he's not trying to lose weight, that metabolically active calories, fat coming out of his gut, is raising his triglyceride levels, raising his blood sugar levels, raising his cholesterol, raising his cancer risk, all of those things. So here's a good predictor of your future heart health, and it's not your bathroom scale. It's a tape measure. I'd recommend everybody listening invest if they don't have a tape measure. And here's what you need to know. Men, we don't want your tape measure to go above 40 inches. Ladies, we don't want your tape measure for your waist size to go above 35-ish inches. If you can keep it at that number or lower, and lower is always better in this area, lower is always better. If you can keep it there or lower, you can minimize your risk of all kinds of health problems just because of the impact that gut fat has on metabolic health.
That would depend a little bit on height, though, I think, because I'm 5'8", I'm at 36 inches. That's too many. Right. I'm not at 40, but if I was 6'2" and I was at 40, 38, no, not as bad or no?
Not height related. No.
Not height related at all.
No.
Okay. Well, that means my 36 is like okay, but it's not okay as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Better. I mean, lower is better. That's absolutely right. And you can kind of tell. You know, I have the David Mines fat test that you can do. You just go home and you take all your clothes off and stand in front of a full-length mirror, and then you jump up and down, and if it moves and it shouldn't, it's fat. So it's very simple.
All right, man. This is a wake-up call for me, my brother. Here's a question I've been wanting to ask you. It's about alcohol, and no moral judgments here for anybody. I don't drink much, maybe a few drinks a week. My wife likes a good martini or glass of wine in the evening, most evenings. Some say that a glass of wine is good for you, especially the red wine, I guess. You know, just curious your perspective on alcohol in general, wine more specifically, pros and cons. I know that has a lot of sugar in it, which isn't always good. Just what do you think?
Sure. So it really is a double-edged sword. I mean, you've heard over the years that maybe a glass of wine at dinner is a good idea. On the other hand, 88,000 Americans die every year from alcohol-related deaths. 88,000, 10,000 just from car accidents. And in spite of all that, in the last 10 years, alcohol consumption is going up in this country. Alcoholism has gone from 8 to 13% of the population. That's 30 million Americans who have a problem handling this. Now, let's just assume that you don't have a problem with alcoholism. That's not your issue. So what about moderate alcohol? Is that okay? Well, because of our new understanding of genetics in the last 10 years or so, we've got some proof that alcohol consumption, especially for your heart, probably doesn't do you any good for the vast majority of people. There's something, it's a little technical here, but it's not too bad. There's a gene we all have. It's called an APOE gene, A-P-O-E, APOE gene. We are, everybody in the world is APOE 2, 3, or 4. We're all one of those three. And it turns out that only APOE 2s get benefit, health benefit from alcohol consumption. But here's the kicker. Only 10% of the world population is APOE2s. That small minority gets some health benefit from moderate alcohol consumption. The other 90%, they have got genetics that does not allow them to do that. So a study was done recently in Lancet, very well-respected journal, medical journal, and they came to the conclusion that there's no safe level of alcohol consumption. They said the safest level is zero. Beyond that, for those who do use alcohol, each drink seems to increase some kind of health problem long term. So the bottom line is, if you drink now and then for a birthday or a celebration of some kind, there is no evidence that there's anything wrong with that. If it is part of your regular routine for stress management, to relax at the end of a day, okay, but please stop patting yourself on the back. It's not doing your health good. Odds are it's not doing your health much good at all.
One thing I've liked about your philosophy around this, you and I have talked about this on occasion when we meet at our conferences and whatnot. You've always had a pretty practical approach to this. You know, in the moderation word, if you will. So in addition to being an author and you're an accomplished speaker, you presented at the main stage at the Million Dollar Roundtable, which I did in 2010. That's always a fun venue. A lot of the folks listening are members of MDRT. You say, you like to say that you've spoken from Denver to Dubai and Kansas City to Kuwait City. Obviously, this topic is of great interest to the general public, not just advisors. So what would it look like if an advisor was to bring you in for a value-added presentation to their clients?
So a good model for financial advisors is to have an event where they invite me to come in. We can do this in person. We can also do it virtually, too, if you want to try that out as a first step. We would base the program on my book, Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise, How to Make Sure Your Health Lasts as Long as Your Money Does. Now, in a moment, we'll talk about that. I've got a version for financial professionals, and that's what we're offering today. But I have a generic version of that same book, which is good for the general public. So what some advisors will do is they'll use this as a premium instead of whatever gift that they normally do. They'll give the gift of health, and they'll sign it and autograph it to their people. And it really makes an impact. It shows their clients that they're interested not only in the financial advisor is not only interested in their business, but also in them personally as well. So we based the event around my book. And I think it's important that your clients realize, again, that you're interested both in their financial wellness, but also in their physical and health wellness as well. So a question I like to pose to a group like this is I say this, you have a choice. You can have $1 billion in the bank, $1 billion in the bank, but you have stage 4 cancer, you're in hospice, and they say you're going to live like this for about 3 more years. Or you can be vibrant, healthy, full of energy, but you're only going to make $40,000 a year for the rest of your life. That's not much money anymore, $40,000 a year. You'll be able to pay your bills. You'll get by, but that's it. Yeah. So $1 billion in the bank, stage 4 cancer, hospice, or vibrant, healthy, and full of energy, but $40,000 a year. Which would you choose? Which is more valuable, wealth or health? You can have both, but health has got to be your first priority, because without it, all the wealth is just paper and possessions.
And you're just ray of sunshine, David. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much. But what I'm trying to do is help your people who are watching today realize what a great marketing opportunity this is for them to position themselves in a way that's different from their competition. Everybody supposedly out there is competent in financial advice. But how do you differentiate yourself? How do you really serve your clients beyond that level? I think we've found a way to do that by addressing the whole person, not just part of them.
Yeah, I agree. Some advisors could really make it a huge differentiator if they wanted to. It could be an ongoing theme. You know, your wealth and your health and your wealth. So in about 90 seconds, I'm going to ask you about stress. I know it's a big topic. We'll talk a little bit about it. Not all, but a lot of financial professionals experience, you know, too much stress on a regular basis. It could be from their job, could be from who knows what, could be from watching the market go up and down. First, let's take a brief pause to listen to a word from our sponsor, Pod Rocket Influence Academy, brought to you by Proudmouth. First, they make this podcast possible, and their core business is helping financial advisors accelerate their influence through marketing activities like podcasting.
This podcast is sponsored by Proudmouth, the Influence Accelerators.
Proudmouth.
Tired of chasing potential clients? We help you spend less time selling and more time advising by amplifying your influence over a growing audience of magnetically attracted fans who will chase you down instead. Visit proudmouth.com to learn more.
Be your own loud.
I want to let you know about some free resources that I invite you to retrieve after you've listened to today's interview. You'll find checklists, guides, videos, and other tools. Simply go to referralcoach.com/resources. Now write this down unless you're driving. That's referralcoach.com/resources. It's also in the show notes. While you're there, make sure you sign up for our weekly tips. We're always sharing best practices and we'll notify you of our newest podcast interviews as they go live. And while these are all free to you, I think you'll find them quite valuable. Now, back to my conversation with my featured guest, David Mines, author of Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise, How Financial Professionals Can Make Sure Their Health Lasts as Long as Their Money. David, let's talk about stress. What can financial professionals and their clients do to reduce or deal with their stress?
Well, Bill, I think most people have heard the suggestion, if you want to handle stress, you need to take some deep breaths and picture a tranquil scene, then take more deep breaths. You know what? I just get dizzy doing that. I get more stressed trying to relax. I will tell you it works. We now know that one of the best ways to deal with stresses of life is the miracle medicine called physical activity. And I know you've heard it before, but you need to exercise. I'm not a fan of exercise. I can think of 100 things I'd rather do. I'll give you two quick things. The reason people don't exercise is it's inconvenient and it's not any fun. So what I found is I make it convenient by having exercise equipment in my house, because even though I have a gym a mile away, it's still a mile away. So I make it convenient. Number two, I also make it fun. So I watch movies while I'm exercising, because exercise to me is drudgery. 30 minutes can go by like that if your mind is off of it, or it's an eternity if you're doing it because it's good for you. So those two issues, I think, make exercise a lot more tolerable. I will tell you that when you're under stress, your body produces a hormone called cortisol. A lot of people have heard about that. Cortisol. High levels of cortisol are not good for your health. And exercise helps burn up some of that cortisol. Another obvious way of dealing with stress is by changing the circumstances of what's causing the problem. Now, that can mean all kinds of things. Getting a new position, new business partner, different spouse. Easier said than done, especially the spouse part. But Albert Einstein once said that if you continue to do the same behavior over and over and expect different results, that's the definition of insanity. So as dramatic as it may be, for some people, the only way to really deal with the stressor is to take yourself out of the formula. But sometimes you can't do anything about the stress. Bad things happen to good people. Life is tough. That's absolutely sure. But you can do something about how you react to it. You know, it's interesting. The same stressor for one person is a huge problem, and the same circumstance is nothing. It's just routine for another person. So it's not the stressor all the time. It is your response to it. Your outlook on life, of course, affects stress. We know that optimism, a positive attitude in life, actually causes neurological changes in your brain, that you produce more of these positive brain neurotransmitters that helps memory, it helps cognition. And that's amazing to me that just your attitude can have a physiological result to that. So remember if you can, look at the bright side. Now, you don't have to look at life through rose-colored glasses. You got to be a realist. But I think it helps to count your blessings. You know, this is a true statement. A bad day in America is better than a good day in many other places around the world. And yes, you had a flat tire on your BMW, but you're driving a BMW.
That's a good way to think about it. David, I understand your book is exclusively available on your website. It's not available at Amazon. So for everybody listening, if you want to get the book, you got to go to www.wealthyhealthybook.com. That's wealthyhealthybook.com. And you have a little deal, I think, for our listeners. Please tell us about that.
I do. So time for shameless promotion. So here's the book, Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise.
Yep.
How financial service professionals can make sure their health lasts as long as their money does. Basically, we just scraped the surface today. If the issue that we talked about your insulin problem, the details of that are in here. We've helped you identify how to identify it, but what do you do about it if you have it? And about half the people, half the adults have it. So this is valuable resource for that. And again, this is also available in a generic version, which is great for you to use as a premium for your clients and potential customers. So that's at wealthyhealthybook.com. You can get it there and only there. But I also, you'll see when you order that, I have another book called Healthy Sales, and it's the ultimate quick guide to maximizing your health. This is really for people who are on the run, have a hectic lifestyle. What to do when you eat out? How do you handle everything else with your health when you got 10 other priorities in your life? This is about life in the fast lane, and that's called Healthy Sales. It's not just for sales professionals. It's for everybody like you and me. So you get that as a bundle. You get both of the books when you order the book today. Again, that's at wealthyhealthybook.com. And Bill, if I can also give my office phone number in case people want to arrange some kind of a program.
And your email, we'll put it in the show notes, but email address too.
Sure. So it's simply my name. The email is david@davidminds.com. And that's spelled David, M as in Mary, E-I, N as in Nancy, Z as in zebra.com, david@davidminds.com. That's my email. And then the phone number for the office is 407-854-8108, 407-854-8108. If you'd like to look into the possibility of doing a on-site or a virtual program for your clients, we would talk about the wealthy, healthy, and wise approach to servicing your clients in a more comprehensive way.
Yeah, that's great. Operators are standing by. Now, yeah. I'm going to recommend you to my advisor, I think, because he likes to do a lot of these value add things that are often fun and not related to money. So I'm going to do that. Hey, my featured guest on today's show is David Minds. Don't forget to head over to wealthyhealthybook.com. David, thank you for sharing such practical, valuable content today on Top Advisor Podcast.
You're welcome, Bill. Look forward to maybe doing it again sometime.
Yep. And you know, you said you were 70, but I tell you, you do not look 70, and your energy is great. So,
well, that's what my 98-year-old mother tells me.
Oh, you got it in the genes too, which is always good. To you, the listener of this podcast, may I ask you a small favor? If you like this episode or like the podcast in general, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to the show. Not all platforms have a place for reviews, but if yours does, I'd be grateful. Thank you. If you haven't already, there are three places you'll want to visit in addition to David's website, which is wealthyhealthybook.com, languageofreferrals.com for my newest book, languageofreferrals.com, referralcoach.com/resources for a bunch of guides, and all of these are in the show notes. So if you're driving, just make sure you check the show notes later. And also check out thekatesacademy.com, thekatesacademy.com. It's the most comprehensive referral introductions training on the planet. This is Bill Cates reminding you that ideas do not make you more successful. Only acting on those ideas will bring you the success you desire. Thanks for stopping by. Thank you for listening to the Top Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Proud Mouse Pod Rocket Academy. I encourage you to visit my website, referralcoach.com, for links to my books, online courses, and to register for the Cates Academy.